I've done something strange with this. So what I'm going to talk today about are, well, first of all, thank the organizers for inviting me. Pleasure to speak here. I'm going to talk about two key examples of higher Chow cycles that crucially use elliptic vibrations and their data for both the construction of the cycle and the computations that I'm going to do. And the thing about these two examples is they use new techniques to prove the undecomposability of these cycles, which are probably more at home in analytic number theory than in algebraic geometry. So a neat twist in both examples. But before going into the two examples, I'm going to begin with a little bit of ad hoc review for the case I want to use of the stuff that James Lewis discussed in his introductory lectures. You don't need to have gone to his lectures, but it might help. So I'm going to discuss things just on K3 surfaces. No reason to be too general. X is a K3 surface over C. And I'm going to define sort of K1 precycles. K1 tilde of X is going to consist of finite sums with rational coefficients of pairs Fj, Dj, where these are formal sums, of course. Dj in X is a curve, possibly singular. Fj is an element of the complex function field of, might as well write the normalization of Dj, just to keep things simple. And the condition is that the sum Qj, Ij lower star, which are simply the maps from the Dj tildes into X, applied to the divisors of the Fj is going to give zero. So the divisors cancel. And then we have to go modulo the relations generated by things of the form Fd plus Gd minus F times Gd. And that gives the K1 precycles. And then K1 of X will just be, by definition, K1 tilde of X modulo tame symbols of the elements of Milner K2 of the function field of X. I'm not going to describe that. It's not important for the talk. So the first obvious thing to do when you have any kind of Chow cycle or higher Chow cycle is to write down a cycle class map. And a priori, the cycle class map for this guy should go to, and this would be potentially non-trivial if X was open and not a K3 surface, not compact. So this would go into H3 of X twisted by Q of 2. All right? So twisted into weight minus 1. And you're asking for Hodge cycles, Hodge classes of type 0, 0. And of course, since this is pure weight minus 1, there aren't any. So there's no cycle class map. Now, the cycle class map would be computed by taking some cycle in here, just of this form, and sending it to one of two things. You could send it either to omega z, which by definition is 1 over 2 pi I, times the sum of qj ij lower star of, up there, of d log of fj, where that means push forward as a current. So it had type 1, 0, in dj tilde, and it's going to have type 2, 1 on the K3 surface. So this gives an element of F2, D3 of X. Those are Hodge-filtered currents. And then there's a topological cycle, Tz, which is the sum of Qj, Ij lower star, Fj inverse of the reals oriented from minus infinity to 0. So these are the negative reals. And this gives a real codimension 3 cycle on X with coefficients in Q. And since this is 0, what you know about these two things is that on the one hand, omega z is d of a 2, 0 current. And Tz is, Can people see if I write one last line here? Nope. Okay. Actually, I will just go over to here and rewrite that. So this implies omega z is d of chi, where chi is some f2 d2 of x current, and tz is the boundary of some gamma, where gamma is some codimension, real codimension 2 cycle on x, chain on x. I'll rub this out. Okay. So that brings us to Abel-Jacobi, which is the next thing you apply once your cycle class is trivial. And Abel-Jacobi is going to go from K1 of x, because there was no, K1 of x is the kernel of CL, so we just get it on the whole K1 of x. That goes to J of H2 of x twisted by Q of 2, which can be expressed as an extension class, x in the category of mixed Hodge structures, or just like this. F2 of H2 of xc plus H2 of xq, not worrying about twists, which is isomorphic to F1 H2 dual modulo periods. Okay, so where does z go under that? Our cycle is going to go to 1 over 2 pi I, sum of qj, ij lower star of log fj. Now that's, again, a current. That's just supported on the image of dj, of dj tilde. And what that means is take the thing you want to pair against that, pull it back to the curve, and integrate it against log fj. Then you subtract off this chi that we wrote down here, and you add delta current on gamma, which means just integrate over gamma. Okay? So currents are functionals on C infinity forms, and that's a functional on C infinity forms. And I'm going to call the lot Rz tilde. So Rz tilde under this isomorphism goes to the functional on forms with at least one dz, sum qj integral over dj tilde log of fj, and then we have to pull back omega by ij upper star, and then we're going to add the integral of omega over gamma. Now what happened to chi? Well, chi, being of type 2, 0, died when being wedged against something of type 1, 1 plus 2, 0. Okay, so that's basically the map that we have to compute. Now, my first remark is that if you believe the Bloch balancing conjectures, including the Hodge conjecture and so forth, then this AJ in this special case is injective. And that's not assuming X is over Q bar or anything like that. It's just injective. Okay? So that's what we believe. So it turns out there are a bunch of not particularly interesting K1 classes that come from the image of C star tensor divisors on X. Now, what does that mean? That just means you take a constant alpha in C star and you write down alpha comma D. Okay? You just put a constant on that divisor. And going modulo this image in K1 of X defines K1 in decomposable of X. So things are equivalent in K1 in decomposable, which would not otherwise be equivalent. And if something doesn't go to zero in mapping from here to here, you say it's indecomposable. So what we're really going to be talking about is real regulator and transcendental regulator indecomposables. So first of all, the reduced Abel-Jacobi map is going to go from K1 indecomposable to, well, we've got to get rid of the algebraic stuff, because that pairs against this stuff. So we've got to pass to H2 ter, which is the orthogonal complement of algebraic classes, and still go modulo H2 ter of XQ. This is still hard to compute, simply because you've got 1, 1, and 2, 0 classes. It's easier to pass to one of the following, phi or r. Phi is the transcendental regulator, and that simply sends K1 in decomposable to F2 H2 modulo the image of H2 ter. The problem here is this is not a lattice. It's horrendous. And so you're not going to be able to use this except for CM K3s, supersingular K3s, however you want to call them, special K3s. You're not going to be able to use this to do any computations except in variation, so when X is varying in families. The real regulator, on the other hand, has a different problem. It goes to H11 ter of X coefficients in R dual. And whereas this is easy to compute, at least. Oh, I'm sorry. Supersingular is not the right word. What I meant was special K3s, Picard rank 20. Okay? Then this is a lattice. That's the only case in which that's a lattice. Yeah. Sorry. Misspoke. So this would just be taking a 2-0 form, the unique one up to scale, and integrating it against your membrane gamma, which was defined at the top of that board there. On the other hand, this is a little bit more complicated. This is given by taking the real part of 2 pi I RZ tilde wedge omega R, which is given by the sum of QJ times the integral over DJ log absolute value of FJ IJ upper star omega R. And here it's essential that, at least on the surface of it, it's essential that omega be real, a real 1-1 form. And not just a real 1-1 form, but omega R is real valued 1-1, pure type 1-1, closed and smooth. So it has to be all those at once or this map doesn't work. Oh, and it also has to be on the nose, perpendicular to Hodge 1-1 of X. Perpendicular to the algebraic classes. So that's quite a hard thing to construct unless you're on something like a product of two elliptic curves. The second remark that comes along here is that there are two ways to show the transcendental regulator is non-trivial for, say, just for simplicity, a family of K3s over an open set in P1. The first one is recent joint work with Ji Chen, Chuck Duran, and James Lewis that says that it's enough to check that this is P1 with variable T. RXT of ZT is generically non-zero. So that will imply that the transcendental regulator is generically non-zero. A result of Stefan Muellerstock and Pedro Dalangel says that it's enough to take for your 2-0 form here as a family of 2-0 forms, so it has a Picard-Fuchs equation for the family of cohomology classes, and you look at whether it kills this family of membrane integrals of 2-0 forms. So this has to be non-zero, so it has to be in C of P1 star. It's a theorem that it gives a single-valued thing. The idea is that the ambiguities in the choice of gamma, which cause you to have to quotient out by H2 of XQ up there, disappear when you apply the Picard-Fuchs operator, because if I add some topological cycle, some 2 cycle on X, then the integral of omega against phi gives a period, and so that will be 0. Okay? So you're just trying to show that this isn't a period of a family of 2-0 forms. And that's enough to show then that you are not generically in the denominator here. So while not a lattice, it's well behaved in families because it's flat. Another remark, there are some problems in the literature. I'm not going to mention all of them, but there are at least 3 examples of constructions of K1 classes on K3 surfaces or equivalent, which are just wrong. So one of them, I won't name authors, I think that's unkind. One of them considers the Narmi-Ishiga mirror family of K3s. And the issue here is that the authors, while they invent an extremely nice technique for detecting non-triviality of this, they manage to use only half of gamma and for doing the computation. And it turns out that indeed this is zero when you add in the other piece, and the cycle is two torsion. So that's one pitfall. Another pitfall is there was a small group of people trying to construct triangle cycles on self-products of elliptic curves. The idea was to look at E cross a torsion point cross E, and then an anti-diagonal or a diagonal or something like this, an E cross E, where these all meet along torsion points. And so this difference is a torsion difference on this elliptic curve, and so on and so forth. But it turns out that if you just take the N squared obvious translates by N torsion in both directions, you get something which is readily shown to be decomposable on the nodes. This is all, you know, you have to invert N squared to do this, but it's still rationally decomposable. And then there's another thing which isn't a problem in the literature. It's instead a brilliant result of Balanchine. So the obvious K1 classes supported, this is not on K3s anymore, supported on neuron N-gons in elliptic modular surfaces are all hit, they're not really K1 classes, they're K1 cycles, are all hit by Tame. They're all hit by the Tame symbol. They're all hit, in fact, by so-called Eisenstein symbols, which were constructed by Balanchine to motivate Eisenstein theories and to do other things. Fortunately, for non-modular elliptic vibrations, one doesn't have any result like this. In fact, one has a result by Asakura. This isn't for K3 surfaces that are elliptically fibered, but for more general sort of Tate curve surfaces, that in general it's not true. He uses p-adic methods to show this, that the K1 cycles are all hit by the Tame symbol. And what I'm going to show you today are two key examples of the following type. You have a K3X, which goes by an elliptic vibration to P1. You have inside there some D, whose normalization is a P1 with, say, coordinate Z, with 0 and infinity going to a single point. So this is a Kodaira I1 type fiber. And you're going to put Z to be little z, this coordinate on P1, to the A, comma D. And this gives an indecomposable K1 class, because the point is that when you throw the divisor of z to the an, the part coming from 0 and infinity cancel at p. So this is independent of the choice of scaling of z, because I've considered it in K1 indecomposable. However, it's not independent of the choice of the integer a. So this depends on a and z. And so there's sort of an ambiguity in the choice of generator. There's a plus or minus one choice of A, which is not always clear how to do and often gives monodromy when you have families. So without further ado, I'll get to my first example. Okay, the first example involves the Apéry family of K3s and the inhomogeneous Picard-Fuchs approach to detecting them from this remark too. So we start with our X lambda. I'll explain what this means in a second. x lambda is defined by a very simple equation, 1 minus lambda phi of u vw, at least until you write what phi is. Phi is a Laurent polynomial. And this is defined in a priori in phi star cubed, but we can take its closure in appropriate torque variety, and then we can take the resolution of its singularities. It has something like 7 singularities of various types, which I won't get into. Phi here is u minus 1, v minus 1, w minus 1, 1 minus u minus v plus uv minus uvw all over uvw. Beautiful Laurent polynomial. Inside P1, we have a discriminant locus delta, which is 0, square root of 2 plus or minus 1 to the 4th, and infinity. So this is a classic family studied by Boyckers, Peters, and Steenstra, and others. So a blanket assumption for this part is going to be let lambda not equal to 0 be small. In that case, we have internal singular fibers. And this is for this vibration by the coordinate w. And so w can be 0, 1, infinity, something I'll call w of lambda, and 3 more near infinity, which I'm not going to worry about so much. And the types are, let's see, I1 star, I5, I8, I1, and there are 3 more I1s. And that all adds up. It seemingly adds up, well, it gives the right degree of the Hodge bundle for a K3 surface, but it seemingly adds up to give only Picard rank 18. And it turns out that the Mordell-Weil rank is 1. So there's an infinite section, okay? Infinite order section. And so you conclude that the Picard rank is 19, generically. I'll just leave that like that. Lambda is not the parameter on P1. Lambda, well, there are 2 P1s. Lambda is the parameter on another P1. So there's an internal elliptic vibration on which the parameter is W, and for which I'll be writing X lambda W for the individual singular fibers. Okay? So the K3 depends on lambda. The elliptic fiber depends on W. Okay. So now I'm going to take a family of vanishing two cycles on x lambda, and it will vanish at lambda equals 0. And then I'm going to take a family for the internal vibration on each x lambda of relative vanishing, this will be over w equals 1, 1 cycles in x lambda w. And I can glue these together in a family to get a Lefschetz thimble, phi lambda w naught, which is going to be the union as w goes from 1 to w naught of the phi lambda w's. Okay, so the point is you can think of it as shrinking to a point at 1 and giving a thimble as a result as it goes out from 1. They're loops. And it turns out that if you consider these phi lambdas as w goes around the circle, absolute value of w equals 1, that gives phi lambda. That gives a copy of phi lambda. So this, when you let w naught go around the circle, w naught, absolute value equals 1, this is going to have monodromy add a copy of this vanishing cycle. And in fact, because the only singular fibers inside absolute value of w equals 1 are this w lambda and 0, w of lambda is of the form minus 16 lambda h of lambda, where h of lambda is something like 1 plus 20 lambda plus dot, 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 about the pair, this is about the pair of points w equals 0 and w of lambda. Okay. Next, I need something to integrate these guys over, or against. And I will use Poincaré residues, a la Griffiths, the residue along x lambda of d log u, wedge d log v, wedge d log w over 1 minus lambda phi. This gives a holomorphic 2 form on x lambda. And finally, I need my K1 class. Z lambda in K1 n decomposable of x lambda is just going to be the class defined up to plus or minus supported on x lambda w lambda, which is an I1 fiber, and so that's well defined. All right. What we want to compute then is phi of z lambda, so the transcendental regulator of z lambda, evaluated against this holomorphic 2-0 form omega lambda. And this is, well, let me give you a picture of the geometry. You've got an I5, and the vanishing cycle vanishes there, and then you've got this I1, and the vanishing cycle sort of does this. So you have this sort of family here. This is my phi lambda w of lambda, and in fact, that is precisely the bounding membrane for Tz. Okay? So instead of gamma, I can write down here phi lambda w of lambda omega lambda, which is nothing but the integral from 1 to w naught, sorry, w of lambda, you know, 1 over 2 pi I, integral u equals v equals 1 in absolute value, d log u, wedge d log v, where I'm using residue theory to write it like this. D log w. Okay. So it's a sort of iterated integral. And how do I compute that thing? The problem is, it's more or less tantamount to integrating a Tower series out to its radius of convergence, and it's hairy to justify such things. So let me attempt to say how this gets justified, just briefly. I'm not going to go into this too much. So on S equals the set where lambda is less in absolute value than alpha plus eta, and lambda naught is in the annulus bounded by alpha minus eta and alpha plus eta for some 0 less than eta, less than alpha, much less than 1, we set nu of lambda, lambda naught, to be this integral with a twist. I'm not going to take w of lambda, I'm going to take w of lambda naught. I'm not going to go all the way out to w of lambda. Omega lambda minus log lambda naught over 2 pi I phi lambda omega lambda. The reason for subtracting this off is to correct the monodromy that it would otherwise have when lambda naught goes around, when w of lambda naught goes around 0 and w of lambda. Okay, so the upshot is that since that's been gotten rid of, we can, for lambda less than lambda naught in absolute value, write this as a power series. This is for each fixed lambda naught, like this. The first fact about this is that mu is monodromy free in lambda naught for lambda naught greater than or equal to lambda in absolute value. The second fact is this nu is consequently of the form lambda minus lambda naught log lambda over lambda naught minus 1 times some holomorphic function plus some holomorphic function. This is the important observation for everything that comes after this, and it's a consequence of the fact that periods basically have only log singularities, or power of log singularities. And this is on all of S. In particular, if that's true, then setting lambda equals to lambda naught, use your favorite fact about epsilon log epsilon, right? This whole part goes away, and I'm left with a holomorphic function, g of lambda lambda, which a priori is defined on the annulus where lambda naught is defined, where lambda naught is constrained. But as a result of work of M. Saito and Stefan Müller-Stock and Pedro Dalangel, there's this nice result that since there's no monodromy on that annulus for this function, it has to extend to a holomorphic function on the entire disk. So we get that mu of lambda, which is mu of lambda, is holomorphic on a neighborhood of zero, and hence of this form. And this is n greater than or equal to zero. Now, here comes the key step, and the one I'm not going to explain. There is a Tauberian argument, which, to get completely right, takes a few pages, and tells you that the sum of a n lambda, lambda to the n, converges uniformly on circles near zero to mu. Okay? And that's the analog of saying if you have a power series and you look at, you look at the function defined by the power series at the radius of convergence, you want to know if the series converges at the radius of convergence and if it converges to the value of the function. And that is what this does. And so then, finally, we can use Cauchy to prove that the new m's are given by rearrangements of the following form. The sum over n greater than or equal to 0 of a n of lambda, lambda to the n, term of order m in lambda. And that is an infinite sum. And so if you write out, if you actually do the computation and write this stuff out, this is miraculous, because when you write this out, there's absolutely no reason, it looks like, why this should converge. And there are all these miraculous cancellations, and then you get some series which just barely converges, which is, worse than special values of integrals of hypergeometric series kind of barely converging. So let me give you an idea of what the result looks like then. So if we do this integral over phi lambda w naught, just fixing w naught for now, of omega lambda, you have a standard Euler integral method for the inner integral. So this was 1 over 2 pi I squared integral over this tube, d log u, d log v, 1 minus lambda phi, and then finally we have the d log w. Now this expands as a power series, the 1 over 1 minus lambda phi. And so we get lambda to the n, w minus 1 to the n, this is coming from phi now, over w to the n. And then I'm going to put big brackets around this, because the integral d log u d log v is going to tell me to pick out the term that is of degree 0, 0 in u and v. So I have u minus 1 to the n, v minus 1 to the n, and then this unholy-looking thing, that to the n. And this whole thing turns out to be quite easy to evaluate. There are some tricks, but it's not very hard. You get n choose k, n plus k choose n squared, d log w. So after all is said and done, and a similar computation for which part of the integral? The period, the wherever it is, right, up here, integral over phi lambda of omega lambda. This eventually leads to 1 over 2 pi I nu of lambda naught is the sum KL equals 0 to n, k not equal to l, n choose k, n choose l, n plus k choose n squared, 16 to the l minus k, lambda naught to the l minus k, h of lambda naught to the l minus k, minus 1 to the l minus k, over l minus k, plus, and the reason I'm writing this part out is those of you who've seen it will recognize this as the a priori series, but with something else plugged in, log of minus 16 h of lambda naught. There's something that's got to be missing here. There should be, oh yes, of course, the lambda to the n out here. But I think there's something missing here. So the bottom line is this big gargantuan mess is just telling us what a n of lambda naught is. And now we can do our rearrangement, and you get some very beautiful series. And the rearrangement, setting lambda naught equal to lambda, and doing a bunch of other things. I'm not going to write down on the board, but you have to add back in this log lambda naught over 2 pi I times the period that you subtracted off. And then you would have a logarithmic behavior about lambda equals 0 if you didn't also add a log of lambda period of omega lambda. So you have to know what that is. And once you add that back in, you get a slight modification of the membrane. That's why I put a prime there. It's just a different choice. You're adding a topological cycle in. And this gives, I'll just write the constant and the order 1 terms because they get worse and worse as they go on. 2n choose n squared over n 16 to the n plus 10 plus 5 log 16 minus 20 sum n greater than or equals 2 n choose n squared over n minus 1 16 to the n lambda. You get the idea. This is already a pretty doggone interesting series, and you start getting crazy polynomials in the numerator too as you go on out. Now, this, by famous identity, turns out to be 8 over pi times the Callahan constant, the alternating sum of the inverse squares of the odd numbers. So why is that coming up, and what on earth is this? I don't even know what this is. I've never seen that before. And then finally, applying the Picard-Fuchs operator, which is known, we get the first theorem, which is that Z lambda is generically indecomposable. Okay. So in fact, I'll just say, remark 4, the g of lambda, the 8 over pi g thing is understood for the following reason. So it took seeing this come up to make me look for it. What you have to do is you have to think of your z lambda as a family of cycles, and hence a cycle on the total space, or rather on a cover of the total space. And then you have to move it. And then you have to do semi-stable reduction at lambda equals 0. And then you have to restrict the cycle to x 0. And then you get a motivic cohomology class. And the motivic cohomology class, which I'll just call Z naught, lies in H3 motivic of X naught cubed 2. And not only that, it lies in a certain weight filtrand of that, which has an Abel-Jacobi mapping to C mod cubed 2. And the value that this goes to under that is 16i times Catalan, which is non-trivial there. So sometimes long, hard computations lead to discovery of new cycles, too, and vice versa. Cycles lead to discovery of horrendous computations. OK. So now I'm going to pass to something that fits a little bit better into this workshop, because there's more elliptic vibration stuff going on in it. And that is going to use the H plus E8 plus E8 polarized K3s that Klinger and Duran have been studying and gets into something called higher Green's functions. So the Tauberian theory was the first surprise. Higher Green's functions are the second surprise. And this is joint work with G, Chuck, and James. So I'm going to start out instead of the torquely fibered K3, I'm going to start out, though this is also torquely fibered, I'm going to start out with a Shiota Inose K3. And that turns out to be the minimal resolution of, that turns out to be the minimal resolution of Chuck and Adrian's favorite equation, written in a slightly different form. And this depends on A and B. No reason to write it out. And this lives in P2 cross P1 and theta. And so there's an elliptic vibration for this P1 theta, which I'll just call theta. Okay? And this is, if he's talked about these vibrations in his introductory course here, this is the alternate vibration. And the alternate vibration is the one that corresponds to the last embedding D16 plus into H plus E8 plus E8. Yeah, okay, P of theta is 4 theta cubed minus 3a theta minus b. That's all. Okay, the next bit of data is a related surface, which is the Kummer of E lambda 1 cross E lambda 2, where E lambda is just the Legendre elliptic curve. Everyone knows. And this is the minimal resolution of what I'll call K lambda 1 lambda 2 check, which can be gotten by writing something like this. We just write product I equals 1 to 2, xi minus v, xi minus lambda I v. And this lives in P3. And finally, there is a projection to P1, which is given by a complicated equation I don't want to write out. It won't be used at any other point, so I'm not going to write it out. So under the relation, under the correspondence, product of J invariance equals A cubed, sum of J invariance equals A cubed minus B squared plus 1, we get a very nice diagram. But let me start out slow. What we get is a Hodge correspondence between K lambda 1 lambda 2 and XAB. So in fact, we get, they solve the Hodge conjecture in this one and get an honest to God birational correspondence. Of this one. Okay. So theta negative 1 of infinity is an I-12 star fiber, and we also have a fiber and a section for this elliptic vibration. And as a consequence, we get Picard rank 18, this is for X, and, but not yet, degree of the relative Hodge bundle, the relative canonical bundle equals 2. This data only gives 3 halves, so we need to find some more singular fibers that don't contribute to the Picard rank, because 18 is correct. And it turns out these are 6i1s. So the remaining fibers are 6i1s, and moreover, L is D16 plus. I'm using the notation from Noam's lecture yesterday. And as a consequence of that lecture, we know that there is a zero section, and in addition to that, a two-torsion section. a unique two torsion section. And this, so the translation from the zero section to the two torsion section gives an Eculon involution, okay, which is a symplectic involution on XAB, and quotienting out by this involution gives us a 2-to-1 map to what I'll call K check prime, lambda 1, lambda 2, and then minimal resolution of the 8 ordinary double points on here gives this guy here. On the other hand, I can start with my lambda 1 and lambda 2 elliptic curves, do the standard minus identity on both factors quotient, and that gives what I'll call K check double prime. And the minimal resolution, again, gives the Coomer. Now I can take fiber products. So this is K tilde prime. I'm not going to write those out. And K tilde double prime. The reason why I want to write those fiber products is it's convenient for working with cycles, because cycles on singular spaces are harder to deal with than cycles on smooth spaces, and everything up here is smooth. Okay. So this basically corresponds to blowing up the 16 products of two torsion points in here. This corresponds to blowing up the nodes on the 6i1s and 2 points on the I-12 star fiber, on the sort of central piece of that I-12 star. Okay, I think I've said everything. There's one more thing I have to say, which is just to mention that the location of one of the singular fibers, one of the 6i1s, well, actually, so the resolution, I'll just put this up for a second, this is K, has 6i2s and 1i6 star, and these are in rather nice places. 1 over lambda 1, 1 over lambda 2, and 3 more that aren't as nice. And this one I'm going to hone in on, and I'm going to construct a cycle on there. So, let me switch the places of these. So in fact, on this Coomer, I'm going to set ZAB in K1N decomposable of XAB to be up to plus or minus the unique generating class supported on the I1. Now there are ambiguities in the choice of these correspondences, so I put Z in quotes, corresponding to kappa inverse of 1. So 1 is in this P1, and the fiber that I'm looking at right now is over that P1. But I'm going to very shortly move over to the fiber over 1, which is an I2. So, all told, one has the following diagram of curves. This is a bit nuts, but this is in the K lambda 1, lambda 2. Then I need to tell you what sits over that and the one that's supported on I1. First, I'm just drawing curves. Then I have a high genus, high number of singularities curve, 6 singularities, 5 ordinary double points, 1 ordinary quartic point, and the resolution, this I'll call D1 check, and the guy up here will be D1. This is a genus 6. Okay? And this D1 is what lies over one of the curves in the I2 fiber over theta equals, over, I call it rho? Rho equals 1. Rho equals 1 in that base. I'll call this guy C2, and there will be a coordinate Z1 and Z2 such that Z1 and Z2 match head to tail with their 0 and infinity. Okay? This is the support of my ZAB, and now I need to build cycles mapping to various cycles in those two places. Here I have C1 tilde and C2, I'll call this z1 tilde, and this goes by, if this is z2, identity squared identity. The thing that sits over c2 here is another copy of c2, so this goes by something I'll call c identity. Now, in fact, c is just a branch double cover, so d1 is a branch double cover of c1. There's a smooth genus 6 curve sitting over that. And so now it's sort of obvious how to construct higher Chow cycles on each of these, first mapping to the guy here that I started with, and then so that the two things agree there. Okay? So let me write down those equations. ZAB is beta prime, alpha prime, alpha double prime, beta double prime. ZAB will be beta prime lower star of C1 tilde, Z1 tilde, plus C2, Z2, and alpha prime lower star of this same cycle will be defining a cycle supported on here, Z lambda 1, lambda 2, which will be equivalent to a half alpha double prime push forward of the cycle on D1 and C2 given by the pullback of the function Z1. So I'm just taking the pullback function so that I get something which is invariant with respect to the flip of D1 over C1. And then I have to choose on the C2 up there, Z2 squared. And that's why I have the half here. Okay. Now, if you carry out the normalizations explicitly on the projective model, which was the singular guy here, you find that there is an ambiguity of your choice of what's zero and what's infinity on each of these curves as you go around various loops. In fact, the ambiguity is sort of in, this is in lambda 1 and lambda 2, so the thing that you have to watch out for is when square root of lambda 1, lambda 2 minus 1, and lambda 2, lambda 1 minus 1 changes sign. Okay, so z, this guy here will have monodromy in that. I'm not going to do the computation at all. I'm just going to tell you what the answer is. The obvious form to let the real regulator chew on is RE of dx1 over y1 wedge dx2 over y2 bar in a11 of e lambda 1 cross e lambda 2. Okay? That's the only 1-1 form which is closed, which is 1-1 on the nose, which is transcendental on the nose, and so on and so forth, that I know how to write down. And, of course, you could try to pull it back up to k tilde double prime and push it forward to k, but that gives a current. And the current is no longer necessarily going to behave so nicely with respect to this guy. And so you run into crazy issues then. So what you really want to do is write down the cycle on E1 cross E2, or rather on the thing lying over it, and do your real regulator computation up there. Because the point is that Abel-Jacobi is compatible with push-forward, and the transcendental H2 in all of these things are the same. So the upshot is if I do it for one of these cycles on this sort of five-tuple of things, then I've done it for all of them. So I just choose the easy one, and I do it on k tilde double prime, where r of lambda 1, lambda 2, which is our real regulator, chewing on this form, is the integral over d1 of log of this function times the pullback to d1 of that form plus log of z2 squared times beta double prime omega pulled back to C2. Now, because C2 came from blowing up a point on E1 cross E2, this guy is going to go to zero there. So what we end up with is simply the integral over C1. Now you can push forward. C lower star, beta double prime upper star of omega. And this is now this fearsome current. and it has 14 poles, all of log absolute value type. But I don't care about that anymore. Those are integral. And so this is now completely justified, and that's the thing I have to compute. Now, to make that monodromy up there go away, I'm going to have to set lambda 1 equal to lambda 2. And when I do that, I get a very nice function, which at first looks very messy. It's minus 4 lambda plus 1 RE, the integral over P1 of Z log absolute value of Z plus I over Z minus I, and then some crazy set of polynomials comes in. There's a degree 4 polynomial, it's holomorphic, an anti-holomorphic degree 4 polynomial, and then absolute value of a degree 14 polynomial. All that times dz wedge dz bar, and then a careful analytic argument shows that it's okay to do the cancellations that come up as lambda goes to 1, which gives minus 16 the integral of log z plus I over z minus I sine theta absolute value of a bunch of stuff in z squared, which I won't write out, du, dv, those are the real and imaginary parts of z. And the point is, this now is anti-invariant under z goes plus to minus. This is anti-invariant, and this is invariant. And so I get that I can reduce this to minus 16, blah, 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 integral over the upper half plane, and that's less than 0. So I get a non-trivial value of the real regulator, and so I have proved that ZAB is then decomposable for generic A and B. So we've got two I1 cycles that are non-trivial now. I'm just going to write that. Now, the last really neat bit. Set omega 0 lambda to be the normalization of this real 1-1 form by I times the volume, well, this is the volume of the Legendre elliptic curve. So R of lambda, which is going to be defined to be the real regulator of Z lambda, which is Z lambda lambda, evaluated against that normalized guy, which is R lambda lambda, that big thing over there, divided out by this, I'll just call that F of lambda. This goes to 0 as lambda goes to 0, 1, or infinity. Now that sounds like a cusp form, albeit a real C infinity cusp form. There's a small problem, though. It has a singularity. So R of lambda is asymptotic to a rational constant times log of lambda plus 1 as lambda goes to minus 1. Now, the thing about lambda equals minus 1 is it's a CM point. So that's not a terrible place to have a pole, and one with a rational coefficient. I mean, you can drive all this from this equation or from generalities I'm not going to get into. It starts looking pretty nice. So if I put psi of tau on the upper half plane equals R of lambda of tau, just the standard modular function, then this is smooth and real valued on the upper half plane minus the preimage of minus 1. It is modular with respect to gamma of 2. It vanishes at the cusps. It has a log of absolute value pole at one CM point in a fundamental domain. And here's the biggest part. If this had no pole, then it would be a Mas form, which is something one has never seen in algebraic geometry before, if you could prove it was an eigenfunction of the hyperbolic Laplacian. Hyperbolic Laplacian is Laplacian times y squared. So this is an eigenfunction. And I had written out a nice little proof of this, but I'm not going to give it because I'm out of time. for delta hyperbolic. And this is, I mean, the proof is like a third of a page. It's very simple. This hooks up very nicely with the thesis of Anton Mellett, who is a graduate student of Don Zagier. And what he did was he used this theorem that higher Green's functions, which is what functions of this sort are called, are motivated by these higher Chow cycles, to prove a conjecture of Zagier that the special values of higher Green's functions are of the form an algebraic number times log of an algebraic number at CM points. And again, that's also very easy to see, because this omega simply becomes an algebraic class at the CM point, and the computation becomes an intersection computation. Intersection, and then looking at the value of log of the function, which is always an algebraic number, at those intersection points. And so that gets into, obviously, a great new vista, because these cycles aren't, like Mellett's, just defined over a curve. They're defined over a surface, and so hopefully these things will extend to some kind of Siegel domain or something like that. Thank you very much. It's plus or minus 2. I have a sign problem. It's plus or minus 2. If you don't if you don't set those equal, then you have to lift to cover of the original domain, which was P1 cross P1. So I don't know what kind of modular behavior one can hope for in that case.